This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inni asaluka hubbak, wa hubba man yanfa'uni hubbuhu indak. Allahumma ma ataytani mimma uhib. فاجعله لي قوة فيما تحب. اللهم ما زويت عني مما أحب فاجعله لي فراغا فيما تحب. We praise and we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as is deserving His divine glory and majesty. And we send peace and blessings on His Noble Messenger, the best of creation, our beloved Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his noble family, his descendants, and his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow his love in our hearts for him and to help us love what he loves, and to give us love for those that he loves, and whatever he grants us of that which we love, make it strength to do that which he loves. And whatever he keeps away from us of what we love, let it be free time for us to do that which he loves. The topic for today is loving the Qur'an, living the Qur'an. So initially, I want to start with asking a simple question. What is love? And everyone has a different idea of what love is. But we can all agree that love is a state of the heart. It's a feeling, it's an experience of intense emotion. It's a deep sense of affection for someone you are pleased with and care about, and to whom you make a commitment. So love is that special relationship between the lover and the beloved that also generates a sense of security and stability. And true love consumes the lover to the extent that the beloved constantly resides in the forefront of his thoughts and overrides all other concerns, that the heart keeps turning towards the beloved and is fully occupied and consumed by the beloved. The word believe in English is related to beloved. It's related to love. So you have love for who or what you are pleased with, and you believe in that person, and you accept that. Similarly, in the Arabic language, the word that comes closest to love, or which is translated as love, is hubb. And the root origin of the word hubb is the same root as habba, which is a seed. So a habba, a seed, needs to be nurtured to make it grow, to come to its full potential, to become a tree. Similarly, hubb, love for someone, needs to be nurtured and made to grow, particularly by knowing the beloved, the attributes of the beloved, the characteristics of the beloved. Because you cannot love anyone who you do not know. So keep that in mind. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made hub, love for him as a condition of iman. That there is no belief unless there is hub. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only wants hub, love, but he wants hub for him to be above all other loves that we might have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. That among mankind are some who take for worship others besides Allah as rivals to Allah. They love them as they love كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ, as they love Allah. There are some people like that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. But those who believe, they love Allah more than anything and everything else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us that hub, love for him, to be more than anything else. And also part of our iman, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, is hub, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of our hub, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, قُلْ, say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That if you claim that you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them to follow you as a sign of their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do that, Allah will yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. He will forgive your sins. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. He is the all-forgiving, the all-merciful. So the two most important or most potent drivers within us that drive us to act, to action, are the two emotions of hub, love, and fear, khawf. This is what drives us to action more than any other. And everything else that we might think of ultimately goes back to these two roots. Our deen of Islam, our faith, our religion, our way of life is overwhelmingly based on love, on hub, for Allah and His Messenger. Yet it also maintains an element of fear, if that is what is your driver. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put both, as we talk in today's lingo, the carrot and the stick. There is descriptions of Jannah to entice you, to tempt you, to love and long for it, and there is descriptions of Jahannam. For whom this doesn't work, let that fear component comes. And fear is also good, but hub is at a higher level. And part of that fear is not just of burning in the fire, but is the fear which is generated out of love for Allah. What is that fear? The fear of displeasing the one I love, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also mandatory, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us in a text which is muttafiqun alayh, agreed upon by the scholars, the greatest muhaddithun, Bukhari and Muslim. He says sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min waladihi wa walidihi wan nasi ajma'in. Which means, this is narrated by the companion Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, none of you have faith. لا يؤمن أحدكم. No one of you can have faith until I am more beloved to him than his children, his father, means parents, and all of the people. Ajma'in, combined, your love for everyone that you love. The love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to be greater than that. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Uhibbuni ka hubbillah." Love me out of your love for Allah. Wa hubbu uhibbu ahlil bayti bi hubbi. And love my ahlil bayt out of your love for me. In other words, this chain of love, the silsila of love, is all because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question arises, we know that's a requirement, why should we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because love has to be an emotion, it cannot be dictated. Okay, what are the reasons? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not firstly, should be loved for who he is. If you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you truly know him as he should be known, you will have no other emotion other than to love him. Why? Because of his absolute and infinite beauty and perfection in every aspect, in every attribute that we know and that we don't know. That was before and after eternity, which is part of him. His creation is finite. Time is finite. Allah was absolute and perfect and infinite before, and he is absolute and perfect and infinite after. We should love him for that, for who he is. Secondly, we should love him because of his infinite favors upon us, out of gratitude. When someone keeps doing favors and favors and overwhelming you with his grace and his love, and he gives you, gives and gives and gives, a normal heart that's not diseased would feel gratitude and love for this person. So if we reflect on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors upon us, we have to love him. And thirdly, as we said, we should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that's a sign and a condition of belief, of iman. So to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to know him as he has revealed about himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not need us to reveal anything about him. He could have just said, believe in me. But he has told us so much about him so that we know him and therefore we love him. Similarly, some of us, especially this is the month of Rabiul Awwal, we've just had the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, the Mawlid, and so on and so forth. Many of us claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we must love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To really love him, you have to know him. You have to know his character. If you know his character, you will love him. You have to know his family. You want to know what he looked like, his shamail. You want to know what he said, you know, just like the lover is always looking for that word from the beloved. You have to know his sunnah and love his sunnah. You have to study his seerah, every detail of his life. In today's world, we know every detail about every corrupt being that we have and some of us take as role models, whether they are in the show business, whether they are in the sports arena, whether they are in political leadership. We know everything about them. What we don't know about is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we don't know about it is his family. What we don't know is how he lived. Why should you love the Quran? There is a story that's famous that most of you know. It's the story of Layla and Qais. Qais was called Majnun. A title of, laqab of Majnun means crazy, crazy in love. So it's known that Majnun, and they couldn't meet. And he had this intense love for Layla, so sometimes he used to go and he used to kiss the walls of her house. And in some narrations, one day they saw a dog passing by Majnun, and he grabbed the dog and kissed the feet of the dog. And people said, this guy is real Majnun. He said, what do you know of love? Do you know this dog passed through the street of Layla? So anything that's associated with the beloved, you love. Not for what that is, but what it represents. The Quran represents Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an attribute. It's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a creation of Allah. So how can you not love the Quran? Allah spoke with these words to you and me. If you love Allah, you have to love the Quran. It is of Him. It is by Him. It is from Him. So if we claim love for Allah, you have to have love for the Quran. And as I said, every claim requires a proof. Because there are many who make claims. What is your proof? What is my proof of the claim of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is your and my proof of the love of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran? Well, let's look at it. And we have to ask ourselves. Number one, as we said, you can't love who you do not know. How much do we know the Quran? How well do we know the Quran? How familiar are you with its message and its details? Number two, if we love the Quran, do we read the Quran? You know, when your lover writes you a letter, you read it over and over again, every word, and you reflect on it. How much do we read the Quran? How often we read the Quran? How regularly we read the Quran? Will tell us, we're not judging anyone else, what is my level of love for the Quran? Number three, understanding the Quran. How much have I studied the tafasir, the explanations of the Quran, to get a true meaning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends? And what does he want from me? How much have we memorized the Quran? How much and how well? How much do we act upon the commandments of the Quran, both its injunctions and its prohibitions? Do we take its halal as halal and its haram as haram? This is a sign of whether we love the Quran. How much adab, reverence, reverent manners we have with the Quran? That once evidence comes, this is what the Quran says, do all disputes disappear for me? Do I submit to the injunction of the Quran even though my nafs doesn't want? And then there is the physical respect for the Mus'haf, the Qur'an. How do I treat the Qur'an? How much, you know, when you love someone, you keep talking about. How much do you talk about the Qur'an to others? How much do you propagate the teachings of the Qur'an? What we use the word da'wah. How much of, you can summarize all of this. How much of your life and my life have you and I dedicated to the Quran compared to what we have dedicated our lives to? Have we even learned to read it correctly? The very basic. So take these points and let us sincerely look within ourselves. For what purpose? Because this is going to give you the diagnosis. It's going to give you a grade. What is my grade of love for the Quran? What happens to my heart when the ayat are revealed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my ayats are wajilat qulubuhum, the hearts of the true believers tremble when the ayats are recited. Does it have an impact on me, or I just pass it on? I hear it like music. Oh, this Mashari Rashid, oh, sounds so beautiful. What does it do to the heart? What should it do to the heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Were we to reveal this Qur'an on a mountain, think of the massive mountains, the structure, the strength, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. You would see the mountain out of awe and reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to crumble to dust. This is the words of my Rabb. How sacred are these words? Do we feel that emotion when we lift the Quran, when we carry the Quran, when we see the Quran even somewhere? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla innaha tadhkira. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةٍ مَرْفُوعَةٍ مُطَحَّرَةٍ بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَ كِرَامٍ بَرَرَةٍ. No, indeed, this is a reminder and an admonition. So whoever wills, let him pay attention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember, these are pages, scrolls held in high esteem and great honor. فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةٍ, elevated, مَرْفُوعٍ, elevated, مُطَحَّرَةٍ, purified, بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَةٍ, in the hands of noble scribes, كِرَامٍ بَرَرَةٍ, honorable and obedient. This is who carries the Qur'an, the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين. Indeed, it is the glorious Quran. It is in a book that is kept safe like a pearl. No one can touch it except the purified, revealed from رب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, what is the status of this? So that when we pick up the Quran, we feel that. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us, and this is narrated by Imam Tabarani and Bayhaqi, he said, the meaning of this hadith is, O people of the Quran, do not take the Quran as a pillow. That is, do not cast it aside, abandoning it. Recite it properly. Give it its proper due throughout the day and the night. Spread its message and ponder upon it so that you may become successful. In other words, oh, I have the Quran. Like a pillow means we are Muslims, we have the book of Allah, and we are relaxing. We don't know what that contains even. So, first sign of love for the Quran is external adab. How we treat the Quran. Unfortunately, today you see the Quran treated like any other book. You will see it sometimes even in the masajid left on the floor. You see it put away with other books on top of it. You see it sometimes put upside down. It's not a sign of adab and respect and honor. Would you put on your clothes upside down? No. This is the book of Allah. So, adab with the Quran, before you read it, they tell us, And this is the manners with it, showing, honoring it. Because if you honor the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor you and give you understanding. Those words of Allah are going to come from your mouth, so my mouth should be fresh and clean, miswak, beautify, in a state of purity, tahara, wudu. Sit facing the qibla, if at all possible. Sit humbly in a quiet place with grace and humility. Not music playing here and TV and people running here and there. This is special. Recite it, when you recite the Quran, as if you are reciting it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He indeed hears you. Recite it with an attentive heart and deep devotion, with the intent to understand the true meaning of it, to obey what I am reading, to apply it in my life. Pause and reflect. Don't be fast and hasty in reading it. When you come across verses which talk about Allah's promises and His rahmah and His forgiveness, maghfirah, ask Allah's protection. Say, Ya Allah, give me, protect me with Your rahmah, with Your forgiveness. And feel the joy from His promises. Feel the longing and wanting what He has promised you. Similarly, when you come across verses, ayahs, that are of punishment, of warning, of Jahannam, seek Allah's protection. Ya Allah, I seek protection in You from this. And feel fear for it. When you feel fear, who do you run to? The one who controls it. When you read the ayats of the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say subhanallah. Feel that. Don't talk and carry on conversations while the Quran is being recited. Physically keep it elevated on a stand or a pillow and seek Allah's protection from shaitan, from distracting you. Read it with the correct tajweed, learn it, and read it in a measured tone, not too fast. There is no extra thing for reading where one word goes into other and you don't know what is being said. If you're reading alone, it is better to read it loud enough, beautify your voice, that you hear it clearly. And if you're with people, read it softly. For two reasons, so you don't disturb others. Number two, so that if you are a good reciter, there is no component of riya, of showing off, look how beautifully I can read the Quran. So it is better to recite it silently when there are people around. Have your ears and your heart attentive and feel the sublimity of this message, the majesty, magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be in awe and feel the love and reverence. Be like a slave who is anxiously looking for the command of the master, who is the most generous of masters, who is the kindest of masters, with complete humility and submission to the words of the master. One of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, it is narrated, that when he opened the suhuf of the Quran, he fell unconscious. And then he came to, he said, Hada kalamu Rabbi, Hada kalamu Rabbi. These are the words of my Lord. He was overwhelmed of what this represents. And when you are reading the Quran, read with certainty, with yaqeen, on the truthfulness, the authenticity of the Quran. Remove any doubts from your hearts. Also, be focused. Don't have distractions. Try and spend some time in understanding and dwelling on the Quran. For studying and reading the Quran, because of what it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a lot of rewards of fadail with it, of promises of khair for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, khairukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allamahu. Best of you, and this is narrated by Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, he said, the best of you, of you believers, is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it. So if you learn and teach the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raising your status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith al-Qudsi, He said, if anybody finds no time for my remembrance and asking of me in dua on account of being busy and occupied with the Quran, because he was too busy reading the Quran, he wasn't, you know, asking in dua, didn't have time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will give him more than what I give all those who ask. This is the status of the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ once came to the Ashab al-Suffa. These were the people who didn't have homes, who used to live in the masjid, the little platform behind the house of the Prophet ﷺ. And they were sitting there and he came to them. So these were people who owned nothing. Most of them just had barely enough clothes to cover their awra. They didn't have food, they didn't have no possessions. Now he comes to them and he says, would any of you like to go to these markets? There were markets well known of Buthan and Aqiq, and come back with 2 she-camels of the highest breed without severing any connections with the family, without committing any sin. In other words, you didn't steal it. You didn't do anything like that. They said, Ya Rasulullah, every one of us would want to do that, because those camels of that caliber would today be like, you know, the Bugattis and the Rolls Royces and so on and so forth. He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, learning 2 ayats of the Quran are better than those 2 camels. In other words, the reward of what you have is better than all of them. And 3 ayats, more than 3 of those. We just talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about bi'aydi safara kiramim bararam, angels that are noble who carry the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ said that the one who is well versed in the Quran will be with those angels, kiramim bararam. And then he said, one who falters in reading the Quran, he has difficulty, for him there is double reward. So there's no excuse why I don't know how to read well. Because now a person is struggling to learn to do better, he gets the reward of reading the Quran and the reward of struggling to read the Quran. This is the generosity of Allah to encourage us so that no matter how difficulty we have, we learn to read the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ said that hasad or envy is not permitted in anything. It's a sin except in 2 situations. One, if you feel that envy, and this is not the kind of envy where you want the other person to lose it, but if you see someone reciting the Quran beautifully and someone who is very, very generous, you feel envious in the sense that you said, Ya Allah, I want to be like that. Okay? That is permitted. So that's the status. And the Prophet ﷺ teaches us that Allah exalts many by this book and disgraces many by this. And this is also in the Quran, similar meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yahdi bihi kathira wa yudillu bihi kathira. That Allah can guide and misguide through this Quran, depending on what you bring to the table, what kind of heart you are bringing. And this Quran will intercede for you on the day of judgment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one narration, it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the guardian of the Quran, he said, keep reciting the Quran and keep ascending in levels of Jannah, and your paradise will be where you finish your final ayah. So if you recite the whole Quran in memory, that's the level you're going to reach, and so on and so forth. For each letter of the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ teaches us, for each letter that we read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us 10 hasanat, 10 rewards. And he says, alif, lam, mim is not one. Alif is one, lam is one, mim is one. So these are, and there are many other rewards of fadail of the Quran. There are books written on it. And, you know, we don't have time. I just wanted to give you a sampling. Now we come to the second part, which is living and acting upon the Quran, living the Quran. How do we live the Quran? One of the Tabi'un, the second generation of the after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the name of Qatada, he came to our mother, Ummuna Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, because she lived till the age of 90, for almost 72 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the next generation used to come to her to learn. So Qatada says, قلت يا أم المؤمنين عائشة أنبئني أن خلق رسول الله. He said that I said to her, oh our mother, tell us about the character of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So what's her response? قالت ألست تقرأ القرآن. She said to him, her response is, have you not read the Quran? Do you not read the Quran? He said, قلت بلى. Yes, I do. So, قالت, she said, فإن خلق نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان القرآن. She says, you ask about the character of Rasulullah, of the Messenger of Allah, his character was the Quran. What does that mean? That what the Quran taught had become part of his character, of his practice. This is living the Quran. As we said before, it's narrated by Muslim that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Quran is evidence for you or against you. It will either be evidence in your favor if you make it a means of drawing nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you fulfill the duties that are prescribed by this great Quran. Namely, believe in everything that it teaches you about. Believe in its stories. Believe in the akhirah that it's describing. You comply, submit to its commandments. You heed and you stay away from its prohibitions, and you venerate and respect the Quran. If you do that, it will be evidence in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you in your favor as your intercessor. Or the opposite, if you disrespect the Quran, you neglect its ayats, its words, its admonitions, its meaning, and fail to act according to what it wants you, what you are ordered in it, and you do not do what it enjoins, then it will be a witness against you on the day of judgment. And one word of caution, because we talked about reflecting on the Quran and pondering, I want to caution you that it is forbidden to derive your own interpretations and rulings from the Quran. So I read this, I think this is what it means, and this is how I'm going to live my life. You don't have the background, you don't have the scholarship, you don't have the language, you don't have the linguistics, you don't have the fiqh, you're a scholar who can derive rulings. Okay. This also applies for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I read this hadith, I'm going to act on it because this is very clear to me. Because all of that has to be taken together with all the relevant ayats and look at the implications. So what do? We look instead, because we don't have, no one on this earth today has that level of scholarship. So we look for this, the authentic proof of how these ayats and these ahadith were acted upon by the salaf, by the early generation, which is the sahaba, the tabi'un and the taba tabi'un, the next generation, and the great a'imma, the great scholarly jurist, mushtahid, scholars of understanding and practice and tasawwuf, like Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Jafar bin Sadiq, and people of that caliber. They had access to what you have access to. How they acted upon it. And you have proof. This is what they did. This is what the... That's following and living the Quran. Not by your own interpretation. So if you find something and you say they did not act upon it, there is no proof that they did this, you leave it. Whereas you find something, yes, they acted on this, then, and this is how they acted on it, then you embrace it and you apply it in your lives and you live by it. So, when you reflect on the Quran, especially if you're deriving rulings and halal and haram and all of those things, understand it as it was understood in meaning and context by the earlier generation, the earliest generations. Then tell yourself, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me. Then examine carefully how closely you are fulfilling it. If you are not, then what steps are you going to take to fulfill that? And do this for every ayah, every commandment, every prohibition. Where do I stand in this? If I was called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow, what would be the proof of my obedience to this? That's why it is narrated that some of the Sahaba, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took 8 years to read Surah Al-Baqarah, which you can read in about an hour fluently. 8 years. So someone asked, why did it take you 8 years? He said, because I would take one ayah, reflect on it, understand it, see what Allah demands from me, and then act on it. And until I started to act on it consistently in my life, it became part of my character, I did not go to the next ayah. Because what's the sense of accumulating knowledge and not acting upon it? So be sincere in your obedience. Be sincere. When we read the Quran, I want to obey. I want to submit to the kalam of my Rabb, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. So gather up and focus all your himmah, all your spiritual energies, your strength, your dedication, with the desire of obedience, desire of submission to follow. So do your best with that. Ask people of scholarship, am I doing the right thing? Look at the right sources. Look at multiple sources so you're not misled, because today everybody claims scholarship, everybody gives opinion, and they are leading a lot of people astray. And as always, this is the effort that you make. The results are by Allah. So what should you do? Summon Allah's help frequently in sincere dua. Cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, open your Quran to me. Open my heart to its understanding. Make my heart submit lovingly, willingly, completely to every word of the Quran. And help me to show this love and to show this submission and this obedience by my actions. Let every word that comes out of my mouth be something that would comply with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Quran commanded. The volume of my voice, the tone of my voice, the words themselves. Take examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't raise your voice above that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't backbite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't use harsh words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how to look. He says, lower your gaze, don't look at what you shouldn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to hear certain things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us where we should go and where we should not go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what we can eat and what we cannot eat, what we drink, what we do not drink. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about all of our needs, how they are to be fulfilled according to the Sharia, according to the Quran, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a business, whether it's raising a child, whether it's taking care of your elderly parents, it's all there. It's all there in spirit and teaching. And the explanation of that is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just has to say, Now we look at ayats more than 100 times. Wa aqimis salah, establish salah. Now I need to look. Is salah established in my life? Is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell us. So how do we pray? How many times we pray? How many rakats we pray? How each action? This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. It's an extension of the Quran, because he's the walking Quran. His character is the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us. We are going over the faraid. Pay zakat. He doesn't give us details. He just tells us these are 8 categories. How much is to be given from your wealth? From your savings? What is excluded? How much is to be given if you have cattle? How much is to be given if you have grain? So on and so forth. That it has to be given every year. On an annual. All of that comes from the sunnah of Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the month of Ramadan comes, fast. If you witness the month, fast. The details of that come from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ashharum ma'lumat. Months, the days are known. What are those days? What are the rites of Hajj? You go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, in every aspect, you know, if you start deriving, let's look at some of the prohibitions. You read the ayah you're reading. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in this khamr, there is harm and there is nafah. There is benefit. So that's good. Can you interpret that on your own? What that means? You have to take all the ayats. And then you interpret that, okay, what is meant by khamr is not alcohol itself, it's intoxicant. Therefore, if I just have one glass of wine, it's good for me and it doesn't intoxicate me. That's where the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in, that if it takes a bucket to intoxicate, one drop of that is also forbidden. Okay. Understanding the Quran through the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following in his footsteps. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you tell them, if you love me, and which by extension, if you love my Quran, then follow me. Follow me means Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you do that, what do you get in return? Allah will love you. If Allah loves you, that's the end of everything. Nothing more you need. Okay? So this is loving and living the Quran. And it all starts by knowing. Knowing Allah, knowing His Messenger, knowing what is the message that He has sent. There are Muslims who live and die at 100 who don't know the message that Allah sent for them to save them in the dunya and akhirah. And unfortunately, that's the majority. Then we wonder why we are in such a state that we are in. So it all starts with our hub for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our hub for His kalam, the Quran, our hub for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our hub for His Ahlul Bayt, our hub for His companions, our hub for the awliya of Allah, the hub, love for the righteous people, the salihin, love for each other because we are Muslims. All of that because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love who Allah loves. So, know Allah, know His message, know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you truly do that sincerely, it will come. You would not be pushed to obey. You would want to obey. And you feel terrible if you disobey. And even that, there is rewards. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person crying out of nadam, out of regret, for not having done what Allah loves more. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the Ahlul Quran, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand the Qur'an in its true context and to apply the Qur'an in our lives. We're not here to teach people. Let's not focus on teaching people. Let's focus on applying. We are sharing this to remind each other. The first reminder is for myself, that we need to dedicate more time to the Qur'an. And we need to examine ourselves, not others, whether they're acting according to the Qur'an or not. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open all of our hearts to the Qur'an and to help us to follow in every step of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walking behind him, wherever his footprints are. That level of ittiba. And that we lead the rest of our lives doing that, and we die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes our soul when Malikul Maut comes in the ittiba of Rasulullah Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Inshallah, we'll open it up for any questions and comments for the next 15 minutes or so, or 20 minutes.